Well, a very good afternoon to you all. It's lovely to be able to welcome you to Headingley South Parade. You are very, very welcome here for this special and significant occasion, the induction of Matt Wright as a minister at South Parade. If you're here from Lister Hill Baptist Church, then an extra special welcome to you. If you're here because you know Matt and Rachel particularly, and maybe that you've travelled some distance, then a very warm welcome to you. And a warm welcome to South Paraders as well. Mary Taylor, who is a regional minister in the Yorkshire Baptist Association, is going to be taking us through the induction. And Phil Meadows, who is the director of the Inspire movement, an international movement encouraging missional discipleship around the world. Fortunately, he's also a personal friend of Matt, and he's going to be preaching today. Let's just begin by pausing together, and I'll lead us in a word of prayer. Lord, we're so excited about today, and we are so grateful to you for the way that your hand is on Matt and Rachel's lives, and the way that your hand is on Matt for ministry and mission, and for this next chapter of his life, for ministry and mission out of South Parade. Father, we praise you for all that you have done, and we look forward in anticipation to this service and to all that you will do in the future. Come to this place, fill each one of us with the Holy Spirit, and enable us to worship you. May we know your joy in our hearts, in our worship, and in our meeting together. May we be excited because you are doing something here in this place, something new, something fresh, something that is missional and that prioritizes following the Lord Jesus wherever he may lead. And so, Lord, we lift one another to you today, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to hand over to Gaz Eyeball, and he and the band are going to lead us in some song worship.
Great. We're going to sing three songs, and they're all great songs of praise. Some of the songs today Matt's chosen and Rachel have chosen together, they're songs that are very special to them. And so hopefully we can all join in worship together and lift up the name of our God. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing that God is with us through the highs and lows of life. We're going to sing of what Jesus our Saviour has done, and that he's with us. And we're going to sing that God would build his kingdom here in South Parade, in Lister Hill, in Leeds, in Yorkshire. We know we need God's kingdom to come on us. So that's the themes we're going to pick up today as we worship. We'll start. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name on the road.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you went to the cross for us and you died for us. And you took on that burden of sin that we should have had. You paid that debt that we could never pay. Jesus, you are just so far beyond our words and beyond the things we could pay to say thank you. Jesus, you have done so much for us. We love you so much. We praise you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God, that whatever path we walk through in our life, you walk with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're in heaven. You're on earth. You're with us. You're before us, behind us, alongside us, within us. When we walk the darkest path, you're there. And we place our trust in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord's my shepherd.
So I'm delighted to be with you today. As has been said, my name is Mary Taylor. And not very many weeks ago, I used to work in the office above there. But we have new offices in the Yorkshire Baptist Association. So, but we miss you. I missed coming here. What it says here is, please feel free to introduce this more informally if you wish. Okay, is that good? Informal is good. And when we get to the end, when we've done all the formal stuff, I hope there'll be some whoops and some clapping and all the rest of it, because it's a good day that we're celebrating today. We've put Jesus at the centre and at the heart of everything we do through our worship. So everything we do in this time is about honouring Jesus in the whole of our lives. I always say that inductions and ordinations and those kind of things are a bit like a wedding, but without the confetti. So that's what it's about. And we're making, all of us actually, all of you are invited to make some important promises to one another and to God. So before we do anything else, what I like to do, because human beings are not all that brilliant at keeping promises, are we? Sometimes we fail. So we call on God to give us strength by his Spirit and to give us sincerity as well. So sometimes these promises seem a bit formal, but they're really important. So let's just pray together, first of all. And our loving God, we seek your help. We know that as human beings, we quite often fail, but we know that through your Son Jesus, you pick us up and restore us and set us going again. So we pray our promises will be sincere, and that you, by your Holy Spirit and your strength and power, will give us courage and ability to keep our word. And we pray it in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, you, that is the members of South Parade Baptist Church, have called Matt Wright. Are you always Matt, or are you sometimes Matthew? Always Matt. Bear that in mind. Always Matt. Matt Wright to be a minister of this church. And believing this call to be of God, he has accepted and comes now to be inducted into this office. So at this significant time in the life of both church and minister, I'm inviting you all to renew your commitment to Christ, to this church, to the whole church, as together you share in God's mission of saving love to our world. So, in our Baptist way, what we do is we like to tell stories. And this is definitely not fake news. These are real stories. They are stories to tell us how it is that God, through the Holy Spirit, through circumstance, through all sorts of things, led us to this place. And I'm going to invite Matt, Peter, and Mike and Brian to come and speak and tell you the story.
Friends of South Parade and Lister Hill folk who've come to ensure that Rach and I have finally gone. Thank you for coming this afternoon to celebrate part of what God's doing here at South Parade. This is a day that Rach and I never thought would happen. We've been at Lister Hill for 8 years and we thought we'd be there longer. It was last summer when Rach and I were wondering one day what God may call us to next, if and when he made it clear that he wanted us elsewhere. And as we talked together, it turned out that we believed it would be a team ministry. So we began to tentatively explore what this could look like. But we were put off really rather quickly, because all the team ministries in the Baptist Union of Great Britain seem to be in the South. And we've lived in the South, and we don't want to again. Sorry, Peter. Sorry, Mary. Okay. So if God was calling us on, it didn't make sense that we had this longing within us to stay in Yorkshire, and if not Yorkshire, then somewhere else in the north. But around December, we learned from Regional Minister Graham Ensor that Peter Morden here at South Parade had asked if we would be open to consider a move. Peter had obviously prayed about that, and we prayed about that a lot. Having never sought this opportunity, because we didn't know it was there, it began to become more clear that God was in this. So I preached here a few times and was interviewed a few more times. And God confirmed to the church meeting and to us that he was calling us. There's about 2,000 churches in the Baptist Union of Great Britain, and this here, South Parade, one church, three sites, many gatherings. Did I get that right? Okay. This is not your average church to Rach and I. Some of you will know that we were members here, Rach for longer than me. This is where my Baptistic beginnings happened. I was sent from here, from the Crag gathering. Actually, that's where the church meeting was. I was sent from this church to train to be a Baptist minister. And we were married here as well, in this room. We didn't have a first dance. We had a first fight. And in the back there, where some of you are sat, we had this thing called the ultimate dueling podium. Some of you were here, and you'll remember those, like, sticks that the, you know, the Gladiators TV show used to use. Well, we had our first fight back there, and opinions differ as to who actually won that fight. We had a bouncy castle over here, and somehow I made Rach bleed on that. You may wonder, is there a sense of homecoming? Well, if you look up, you will see Aston Villa colours on the ceiling. I think God was involved in designing this building. You may wonder, is there a sense of returning to the familiar? In some ways, yes, but in some ways, in probably more ways, well, no, actually. Because this is a different church to the one we left. It's a different ministry team to the one we left. And we are different as well. But it's good to be back. To be part of the new thing that God is bringing up.
Just to be very clear at the beginning, these are vintage shirt Crystal Palace colours. So 1960s and 70s, those of you who are around then, those of you who know football, those of you with long memories will remember that Palace played in a maroon shirt with light blue stripes. It's really, really exciting, or at least it has been up to this moment, to be... to be welcoming Matt here. And from our point of view as a church, as many people here know, we'd looked at someone else to potentially come and minister here, someone that I knew well, knew better than Matt. And there was some significant disappointment, not least from me, when he decided that God wasn't calling him here. But then when we began to look at Matt and just sense the connections that he's had with the church, the way that he really fitted what we were looking for, just got a growing sense that actually my friend had heard God right, and this wasn't the place for him, because God had someone else who he wanted to be here. just speaking to Matt about a whole range of things. His desire to work within a team, his passion for missional discipleship, his excitement about small groups, his love for children and families, his experience in all-age ministry, his missional heart. So many things just fitted what we wanted. We were also, I guess, looking for someone younger. We never thought that we'd get someone as young looking as Matt actually is, but that is a bonus and really exciting for us. And when Matt came to the church meeting, I think we just discovered more connections. Gaz was talking about how he's known Matt for many, many years and experienced him on mission trips. Matt looked a bit older in those days, but it's just great to hear the connections that there are. But don't want to look back, much more want to look forward. And I've been wrestling with this a little bit, but I just want to give, I guess, Matt a word. And as I've prayed this through, again and again, the word potential has just come into my mind and my heart. And one of the reasons why I'm hesitant to say it is that it seems a bit patronizing, because Matt actually is an experienced minister, someone who has done a fantastic job in Lister Hill, in bringing change and a dynamism to so much of Matt's life. He is part of the Inspire steering group. He has done a whole range of things in life and ministry. And so potential doesn't mean here is someone who is wet behind the ears and isn't an experienced minister and isn't going to be able to hit the ground running, because he's certainly able to do that. But I just feel, Matt, that God is saying more, that there's more for you, that there's more for you to do, that there's more for you to grow into. Perhaps even new gifts, but certainly new opportunities for service. And I think the final reason why I believe that Matt is called here is that, as I've said in a number of contexts, on a number of occasions, that the word potential is one for this church here. Headingley, Connect at Copper Beach, Crag, the different gatherings, Rooted we're launching as a gathering, so that's really exciting. So we hope that the many gatherings will actually be reality rather than just aspirational. And to say potential for this church, again, isn't to denigrate the history. It's certainly not to say that there aren't many, many good people here who are doing tremendous work. There is so much that is good about this fellowship, about this church, about this set of gatherings. But again, I think God wants to do more. Not so that we can puff ourselves up, but so that we can be perhaps a resource for others, so that we can be mission sending, and so we can be involved in all that God wants to do through us in building his kingdom. The potential here is vast, and I view Matt's appointment as a strategic one for us as a church going forward. And so it is with great excitement and enthusiasm and hope that I want to just really say that I believe with all my heart that Matt is called here, and we're excited to see what the next step of the journey is going to be.
Good afternoon. I thought Brian would have been when we got his hiding somewhere. As you can see, it actually takes two of us to replace Matt. I'd just like to thank you that we're being asked and to speak at Matt's induction this afternoon. I don't know how I'm going to follow some of the things what have already been said about Matt. Matt, over the years at Lister, has he's helped us to see God's vision. And that's been a difficult process to go through. And fortunately, I've been part of that, and so has Brian and the church as well. Some of the other positive things is done within the community is the fair trade in Horsforth. He helped champion that through, and now it's a fair trade town. Same again, it was just tremendous to see that being put through. And one of the worst things we had to do as a church, and he drove us through it and helped, was the constitution. It was a minefield. Without Matt's dedication and understanding of some of the things we couldn't understand, I don't think we'd ever got to the place where we are now. It's really fascinating, because I didn't know the guy we're going to be here from Inspire. Obviously, I don't read my emails that well. Because that's one of the things he set up as well. He set up small groups of Inspire, which are really going strong and people are really enjoying. And he also helped set up one of the best things I think we've got is the men's ministry. Even though it's mainly eating breakfast together on a Saturday, the amount of coffee me and Matt go through is unbelievable. When the Toby Carvery have to ask you to leave because it's time to settle for lunch, you know you've been there too long. I spent a lot of time with Matt visiting people in hospital over the years, and he's brought these people lots of comfort and support. It's been difficult sometimes when somebody's going to be with God. But we spent a lot of time in prayer with couples and people, and it was just tremendous to see his ministry in that field. He's got a compassionate heart, and he brings grace wherever he goes. And he's even to the stage of taking communion to people who can't come to church. I've been part of that as well. I'd just like to say on a personal note, he has been a blessing. He's always... excuse me. It's been really encouraging for me. He's encouraged me to do things what I would have thought I could never do. This is one of them. Stand in front of a big crowd. He's always been there to support me. We've laughed and we've cried together. We've seen some good times and we've seen some challenging times in Matt's ministry and the church's life. And I personally will miss that time. But I'm sure we'll meet up for breakfast or coffee, because we do like to drink coffee. It was a blow when he told us that God had been calling him to come to South Parade. But I know this is a calling on his life. And he's stepping out of his comfort zone. And he's going to be meeting new challenges, as we've heard this morning. So it's with a sadness and joy, not that we're getting rid of you, Matt, but it will be a joy that you are doing what God's called you to do. That we at Lister Hill commend you to South Parade Baptist Church. Thank you.
Thank you. Just wanted to say, Matt, how much of an encourager you are, as Mike's been saying, and a supporter of us as elders and our church. Especially in the last few months, when Mike and myself felt that this was too much for us to lead the church. He got alongside us and said, "You can do this, guys." And it certainly meant a lot to me, he did that. And I think it did to you, Mike. He's also gifted at paying attention to detail. We remember this when clearly when the whole church went on a weekend away to Scarborough. It had been planned months in advance. Friday night came, we were at the hotel having a meal, and the talk between us was, where's the guest speaker who was going to be speaking for the whole weekend? It was getting later and later, no appearance. As time went on, Matt said, "I'll just give him a ring." Yes, he was going to come along, but that was the following weekend. He'd got the wrong weekend. Oh, heck. What now? So at least Matt's picking the lingo up. In a godly and orderly way, he set to and single-handedly stepped up to bring seminars of God for the whole weekend, Friday to Sunday. What a blessing God brought through Matt that weekend. You did us and God proud. We will miss you both, Matt and Rachel, but we know that God is calling you on, and we feel that that's a real blessing to you and a real blessing to this church, and we wish you the best. We pray that God will bless Matt and Rachel here in this church. We pray for the sense of the Holy Spirit with Matt and Rachel. And we just pray for the future. We pray that it would soar in this church and you would see masses of fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Touches the heart, and it reminds us that brothers and sisters in other churches can often be very generous to us, and they are being generous in commending and releasing Matt and Rach to come here, and that there's a sacrifice in that, but there will be blessing for them. And later in our time together, we're going to pray for Lister Hill and for their future and the calling of God on their lives and community. So first of all now, though, I'm going to invite Matt to come here. And you've got your lollipop, that's good. Stand over. I'm a bit worried about this stuff about bouncy castles and fencing. And are you gonna tell me more about it later. So I'm going to now begin that formal part. We're going to ask you some questions and ask you to make promises. And then we will move on to Rach, to the leadership team, to the church here, and then to all of us. So I hope you're in a promise-making mood. So Matt, all Christians are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to follow in his way. Matt, as a Christian minister, you are first a disciple of Christ. And so I ask you to affirm afresh your faith and trust in God, a faith which you have already confessed in baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Okay. So, Matt, you've been called to be a minister of South Parade Baptist Church. Do you accept the charge from Christ to care for his people with all diligence and compassion? Will you care for the weak, bring Christ's healing to the brokenhearted, lift up the downcast, and pray regularly for those committed to your care?
I will, God's Spirit empowering me.
Will you equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ? Will you help lead and enable God's people in their mission to the world, seeking God's kingdom, proclaiming the gospel in word and deed, and seeking to make Christ known in every way?
I will, the risen Christ inspiring me.
Will you make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? By your example, will you help lead this church in all godly living and in its devotion to Christ through prayer and the reading of Scripture? And will you be faithful in the leading of worship, in presiding at the table of the Lord, and in preaching the word of God?
In the name of God, who is the Father of all, the living Word, and the Spirit of unity, I will.
Thank you. So I'm going to invite Rachel, if you will come up. We're going to end up with a sort of gathering here on the stage, if you'd like to come. So it's a promise for Rachel now, as that support and partner in ministry. You have heard the promises made by Matt today. Will you join in that commitment to Christ and his people, promising to support and encourage him in his ministry in this church and community?
I will.
Bless you. Thank you. And now I'm going to invite the ministry team of the church to come forward. Good. We gather round that way, probably. Excellent. So, do you, ministry team, believe you've been called by God to work together? Key word there, together, humbly and willingly, in serving this church and community?
We do.
And do you promise to honour and respect one another, doing nothing from vain conceit, but in humility, regarding others as better than yourselves? And do you promise to work with the members of this church in its calling to seek the kingdom of God? Now, we're getting to widen the circle. I'm going to invite those who are members of this church here at South Parade, those who have a sense of commitment to the work of this community, this Baptist community. If you'd like to stand, and Yay! There's some promises for you as well. So, my sisters and brothers, a new chapter in the life of this church is opened today. And I invite you now to renew your commitment to Christ and this church, to affirm again the vows of your baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
We do.
Amen. Do you accept and welcome Matt as one of your ministers? And do you promise to honour and support him with your love and prayers, working together with him in your shared calling to witness to Christ in this place? Paul the Apostle says, you were bought with a price. Will you serve Jesus Christ as Lord, bearing witness to him and daily taking up your cross to follow him? Thank you. Now I'm going to invite the whole congregation to stand, and as representatives of the wider church, the representatives of the community that is in this place or beyond, and I'm going to invite you, will you offer your support at this new beginning in the life of church and minister, and will you join in praying for them all? Amen. We will. So if you feel able, please will you remain standing. We're going to pray now. We're going to pray prayers over Matt, seeking blessing, seeking God's Spirit to fill him. And if we can gather around, that'd be great. And I'm going to invite Philip as well to come. Let's pray.
Father, we bring our prayers to you this afternoon for the future of Matt's ministry here. We ask for your blessing. Pray that you'd give him courage and clarity. And we pray that in all things you would direct him by your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Lord God, we thank you for the joy of this day. We thank you for your activity already through the stories that we've heard. And we thank you for all that you have in store in the years ahead. And Lord, we pray as we've sung together at the beginning, that even when it is difficult, that Matt and Rachel would still be able to praise your name, that your Spirit would draw that from them, and that the promises that we've made today and that they've made and your faithfulness will continue and remain. Amen.
Amen.
Matt, I just want to read over you a word of scripture that part of our Inspire prayer team posted this morning as a word that she felt was for you from the Lord, from 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands upon you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you will, in fact, breathe your Holy Spirit over the embers of our brother's heart and fan his devotion into flame. Will you impart the zeal of a pastor and an apostle to this man? Lord, may that flame consume him from the inside out. And may the fire of your love Both anoint him from within and be upon his tongue, that the very words that he speaks and the very ministry that he offers will be aflame with you, contagious, catching, and Lord, be something that moves from heart to heart and person to person in this place and from this place into the community and the world around. Because, Lord, it's your anointing that we seek. Will you fan the flame in his heart? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Matt and Rach, I want to give you 2 Timothy 2:15, a verse that I personally draw in ministry. Be diligent and study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, because you are rightly dividing the word of truth. Heavenly Father, we come to celebrate your grace in this couple, Matt and Rachel. Thank you for your hand of guidance and providence that has brought them to this place, this holy ground spot, where they could encounter the one who has called them, the one who has promised, the one who began this good work, the one who is faithful to see it through. We commend them to your gracious keeping, and I pray, Lord, that you will give Matt and Rach wisdom in all their ways and strength for the journey ahead. We thank you for their labor of love thus far in Leicester Hill. We thank you for the many evidences of your grace at work in and through them. We are so thankful for giving them as gifts to South Parade and our ministries. Help us never to take them for granted. Help us to always pray for them. Help us to be encouragements to them. And more than anything else, as our shepherds, may we continue to help them to do your will in our congregations.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you'll give Matt, as he ministers and leads us, the very mind of Christ. Give him, with Rachel, the heart of compassion that he already has, that it will continue to flourish in the many gatherings and in our churches. And give him those beautiful feet that carry the gospel of peace. And so we pray, Lord, your blessing that enriches and adds no sorrow will be their portion and spill over into all our lives now and until we see the great shepherd who laid down his life come for us as sheep. So help us with Matt, Lord, to be found faithful through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And Father, we pray for Matt and Rachel personally. Lord, we're so happy for them that Rachel is pregnant. And we pray that you would continue to journey with her. We continue to pray for a full-term pregnancy, for a healthy child to be born, for mother to be fine. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have worked by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would be doing more and more as Rachel comes to the time of the birth. And in your time, O Lord, may this child grow to know and love you as Saviour and Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the part that Leicester Hill have played in their journey to this point, and as they desire, so we pray for Leicester Hill. We thank you for the church there. We thank you for the exciting things that have happened over the past few years. And Lord, we pray that this growth and excitement won't be lost, but rather that you would be stirring up your people to move forward to the next stage. Pray for Mary Taylor here as she seeks to oversee and to guide the church. We pray for Mike and Brian, the elders. Lord, we pray that you would lead this church forward in life and in ministry. We pray that you would provide for them. And Lord, we ask that more and more Lister Hill Baptist Church would be a great beacon shining out into the neighborhood with the love of Christ and influencing for your kingdom far and wide. So, Lord, we lift Matt and Rachel to you and we lift Lister Hill to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, Matt, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the Baptist Union of Great Britain and of this church, I declare you inducted as pastor. Inducted as pastor of this church and congregation. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord take care of you. May the Lord be kind, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift a face of favour on you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Right hand of fellowship.
My order of service is down there, but I'm pretty sure we're going to sing.
I've given the guitar, so we probably are going to sing.
Fantastic. We are going to sing, and Gaz is going to introduce the song. And then after that, we're going to have a reading. And then Phil is going to come and proclaim God's word to us.
Great, excellent, thank you. I don't know if you noticed, but I really picked up one thing from the promises Matt made, which there was a theme there about being called and following. Being called and following. And this song picks up exactly that same theme about us being called and us following. And I love the fact this song isn't a I will follow, but it's a we will follow. And so we commit, as in the words of those promises today, that we will follow Christ together, that we will reach out to the lost. And so I think really these words should be like a punch in the gut to each of us to remind us actually what God has called us to do is to be his kingdom, to reach out to the lost and to do it together, and then his kingdom will be built amongst us. So hopefully we're in there. Just checking.
Call of the kingdom, lift your eyes to the King. Let this song arise within you as a fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came in Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Hear the call of the King. To reach children of light with the mercy of heaven, the humility of Christ, walking justly before him, loving all that is right, that the life of Christ may shine through us. King of heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow. Filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. Hear the call of the kingdom to reach out to the lost with the Father's compassion and the wonder of the cross, bringing peace and forgiveness and your glory. let the nations put their trust in Him. King of heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. The guy from Inspire is here. it's always nice to be recognized, you know. I know that Peter didn't use this word, but let me suggest that it might actually be the word which that he named potential. Can I call that a prophecy? Now, maybe I can say that and get away with it. He's not going to claim that necessarily, right? And time will tell. But who wouldn't want a thus saith the Lord behind more? More. And when is there not going to be more? It is the Lord's desire, isn't it? And I believe that it's probably a prophetic word, and to hold it as a prophetic word is a little bit of a stronger commitment to something than just having it be a nice idea. If this is the Lord saying to you, not there can be more, there will be more. One of the reasons why I hesitate to suggest that is precisely because the word that the Lord gave to me to bring here was precisely this: long for more. Long for more. Long for more of Jesus. It's one thing to know that there is more. It's entirely another thing to actually long for it. That's my challenge to you. Do you long for more? Are you willing to stake your life on that promise of God? Let me start by reminding you. You say, you know, Baptists like to tell stories. A very familiar story that takes us back to the Acts of the Apostles and Saul of Tarsus. Saul, you remember, had become famous for persecuting Christians. He was there watching while Stephen was being stoned to death. He held the clothes of those who pelted him so that they didn't have to get blood spattered. And then from there, we're told, he went on to begin to destroy the church, dragging men and women from their homes and putting them in prison, which in those days would probably have been as good as a death sentence anyway. And he's on his way to Damascus, clutching a search warrant in his hand. And suddenly, he's bathed in light from heaven. Now, he's too good of a theologian not to know what is going on here. This is an experience of the manifest presence of the living God. And this light flashes around him, we are told. He's also too good of a theologian not to know what you've got to do, to squeeze your eyes shut, because no one looks into the face of God and lives. He closes his eyes and he falls to his knees. And he also knows one more thing. God never shows up without a word. And his word
is what he was waiting for. But it was not, of course, going to be the word that he was expecting. Good and faithful servant persecuting those Christians. Oh, no. It turned out to be an encounter with the risen Jesus, who says to him, "Why are you persecuting me? I'm Jesus." And Paul knew it was true. That blaze of light and the voice of Jesus was not just a revelation of the truth. It caused a revolution in his very soul. In that moment, everything that he based his life on was going to have to change. The Christians were right after all. And he would spend the rest of his life saying so. Jesus is the Son of God. He has been raised from the dead. He has conquered the powers of sin and evil. He is the Lord of all creation. The past, the present, the future are all in his hands. And one day, every knee will bow and proclaim him Lord over all. Not only that, he will come back to finish what he started. Suddenly, every murderous desire in his heart is swept away. And a new kind of love is poured in. A new kind of love for God and a new kind of love for others. He was being changed from the inside out. Saul's companions led him to Damascus by the hand. I mean, they really had no other option, right? Because when he thought he was squeezing his eyes shut, he discovered actually they had been sealed shut. And so from that moment on, every step that he would take, and not just because he was blinded, would be a step of faith. And he is taken to the house of Judas. But he didn't eat or drink anything. He was waiting. Waiting for Jesus to unfold his plan for him. 3 days he was blind. 3 days his eyes were sealed shut. Does this sound familiar? 3 days sealed shut. Just like Jesus had been sealed up in the tomb. And then there's a knock at the door, because Jesus had sent Ananias to lay hands on him so that he might receive the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rolled away the stone from Jesus' tomb, now peeled back the scales from Paul's eyes, and he could see again. But oh, how different the world looked now. The Spirit of Jesus not only opened his eyes, but filled his heart. A spirit of wisdom and revelation to know the Father better. A spirit of power and love that would overcome all timidity and fear, as we have heard. A spirit of faith and hope that would set him free for joyful obedience to stake his life on the risen Jesus. Because we have a God who raises the dead. Amen. Everything else in all the world now seemed like so much dung and dross compared to this. From now on, nothing else was going to matter but that he should know the presence and the leading of Jesus. And nothing else in all the world was going to change that. Neither height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate him from the love of Jesus. Finally, he is baptized. Goodbye, Saul. Hello, Saint Paul. How about that for a testimony? Huh? You would think that Paul would spend the rest of his life telling that story over and over again. You know, he'd arrange tours. Well, he went on tours. But that's what he would be saying. In fact, he doesn't, except maybe once or twice, and usually when he's simply defending his apostleship as someone who was called by Jesus. In fact, he doesn't do that. Why not? Let me suggest this. He doesn't talk about that because it was just the beginning. There was so much more. So much more. So much more.
When Jesus takes hold of us, his Spirit plants a longing for more in our heart and a desire to pursue him for all that we are worth. This is one of the things I love about Matt. Sure, ask him to tell you how he became a Christian. I'm sure he would gladly tell you. But that's only going to get you so far. Rather, ask him what he's longing for. That will get you a lot further. A lot further. Ask him about his passion. Ask him about his zeal for Jesus. Ask him to help you long for more of Jesus. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. For some here today, perhaps Jesus needs to take hold of you for the first time. For all of us, we have a constant need of being taken hold of, over and over again, to be reminded of this simple truth, that there is more, and that we can have it when we stake our lives upon him. Will you long for more of Jesus? Let's hear the word of God.
Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again with tears, many now live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen.
I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, to gain Christ and be found in him. Do you long to know Jesus more fully? This is not a rhetorical question. I know we're in Yorkshire, but I'm a Yorkshireman. It's okay. Do we long to know more of Jesus?
Yes, amen.
Is it your heart's desire to walk with him so intimately that you begin to think like him, feel like him, speak like him, live like him, moment by moment and day by day? Do you long to know him as Lord and surrender all for his transforming presence and power in your life? This was Paul's consuming passion. He says, I want to know, I long to know the righteousness that comes through faith, not just mere forgiveness, but having that spirit of adoption poured into my heart, which cries out, Abba, Father, and enables me to walk moment by moment and day by day as a beloved child of God growing up into his likeness. I long for the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead poured into my heart, that makes everything possible and changes me from the inside out into his likeness, overcoming every addiction and hesitation and fear. And I want to know more of the fellowship of his sufferings. Because this walk with Jesus is not just some sappy romantic affair. It's life and death stuff. And we dare to believe that a God who raises the dead and calls us to step out in faith, even into an unknown future, can only be filled with joy. Because his immense power and love is with us always. Can you catch a glimpse of what Paul means by the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus? Paul is really saying that there is no one else like him. Nothing else can take his place. It's not like there's this and this and this that you could have as options in your life. And then Jesus is just so much better, so why not go for it? He is not even on the same stage, the same menu. This is a whole order of difference. For him, there are no substitutes. No substitutes. Make knowing Jesus your goal. Striving after lesser things is so often our problem, though, isn't it? Seeking a righteousness of our own, seeking to make us right or feel right or have our lives seem, you know, on our own control. That's what we really want. Don't settle for that rubbish. Have you ever tried it? You're any good at it? There are no substitutes for Jesus. There really are none. This is what I know about Matt's heart. And it will be his mission in the church, I believe. To help you, those of you who will hang around him at least, become more fully devoted followers of Jesus. And I just want to briefly mention four things from this passage. Four commitments that I know that Matt has in his life and that he will bring to this church. And they describe the deep life of discipleship that I know is... I love the in the induction words that Mary said, you know, Matt, you are first a disciple. Let other people catch that off you. Here's what I believe you will catch from Matt. First, that following Jesus brings a glorious destiny. I want to know Christ, says Paul, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let me ask you a different question. Do you long for the resurrection? I don't mean, you know, this is not some strange left behind thing going on here. What I mean is, do you know this world is not your true home? You might be some use in it, right, if you know this to be true. God has called us heavenward, Paul says. We were made for heaven, to live in eternity. But here's the thing, I'm just enough of a theologian to have figured out a couple of things about that kind of talk. The first is, that heaven is really not just some, not even some like remote place in the sky where we go when we die. Heaven is how we name where God lives and rules and reigns. Where is God? Well, everywhere, right? So potentially, it is possible to get caught up in heaven, wherever we are. Because heaven is really about saying we are in a relationship with a God who rules and reigns in his kingdom. This Paul wanted. He really did have heaven in his heart, in his mind, in his life. And eternity. I used to think that eternity was just this really, 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 really long time, you know. And whoopee, we get to go to heaven to live for an eternity. That's never seemed like entirely good news to me. Maybe my imagination's not big enough. Until you realize that's not what eternity means. Eternity is a way of describing that which has no beginning and no end. And in other words, there is only one person that we can describe as eternal. And that is God himself and his son Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. To have eternal life, to have heaven, to walk in eternity means literally to walk in that deep relationship with the one who knows no beginning or end and whose life is poured into us. Do you long for that? Paul's passion was to live in the presence of Jesus, to worship him and enjoy him forever, to be with Jesus, he says, it is to be seated in the heavenly places. Not that I have attained this already, he says, but we eagerly await a Savior, because one day Jesus will return to finish what he started. You see, we know where this whole show is going, right? Jesus has shown us how it's all going to end. One of the things I like to ask my students in the States is this, you know, when you think about this new heaven and a new earth, that God has promised that in the end there will be, all things will be made new, there will be a new creation. When you think about that as the conclusion of Jesus' ministry, how likely do you think it is that he can pull it off? Is it just possible? God could kind of pull it off if he wanted, because God is God and he can do anything. Is it probable? Well, based on the likelihood of things, when I look around the world, etc., you know, it is you know, likely that he's going to pull it off and pull it off sometime soon. But, you know, we can never really know. Let me tell you, it's neither just possible, nor probable, nor even, dare I say, potential. It is inevitable. Inevitable. He is going to come back. The new creation will be fulfilled. I know that because it's already started. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he is the new creation. He is the first fruits of all that will follow. And all of that stuff that Paul talks about us being a new creation, is a way of saying that we are already caught up, right? In this amazing, powerful work that God is doing in the world. I love how the writer to the Hebrews puts it. If you are in Christ, Paul, not only a new creation, writer to the Hebrews, you have tasted the powers of the world to come. Have you got that taste in your mouth today, I wonder? Whether we live or die, we have a God who raises the dead and says how it's going to be. The powers of sin and death and hell do not have the last word over our lives. And this hope sets us free to stake everything on Jesus. Like Paul, we're empowered to face all kinds of troubles, hardships, beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work and sleepless nights. Why? Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to make a promise on Matt's behalf. He's going to make you utterly dissatisfied with your life. What I mean is, I know the dissatisfaction that's in his life. Now, I don't know, as a Yorkshireman, when I hear that, it's like somebody telling me, he's going to make you dissatisfied, let me tell you about dissatisfied, you know. I can grumble with the rest of them, you know. But there's a big difference between moaning about things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about groaning for what lies ahead. Groaning, not just for the new creation as it will be in the end, but groaning to see that new creation power poured out and break through in your life, here and now, and in the places where you live and you work. Do you long for that? The second thing I know about Matt is that he's going to call you to follow Jesus as a focused pursuit. Paul says, "This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal." Do you long for Jesus to be the center of your life? Do you long for a conscious and conversational walk with him, not just with him while you're doing churchy type things, but in the other 90% of your life, really, transformingly, day by day? Paul's life, you see, was full of activity, wasn't it? He was a missionary, an evangelist, an apologist, a miracle worker, a church leader, not to mention his day job as a tent maker. What Paul means when he says, "This one thing I do," he is speaking about his magnificent obsession. That which is first in importance, his reason for being, his guiding purpose, to live as a follower of Jesus, a child of God, a citizen of heaven, and take others with him on the journey. One of the greatest problems facing our discipleship is what the ancients would have called spiritual dissipation, distraction. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to be trapped by both the failures and the successes of the past, and to get tossed to and fro by the joys and concerns of daily life. And we're often anxious and fearful about the future, past, present and future. All these things can so easily draw our souls away from Jesus. Sometimes I wonder why it is we suffer so easily from a kind of spiritual attention deficit disorder. It's so distracted. But the good news is that even when we take our eyes off Jesus, he always comes looking for us, right? Maybe it's like, maybe you're on a Damascus road and you don't see it coming. And Jesus will just take you by surprise and take hold of you again and remind you of your first love. Or maybe it's not the Damascus road, maybe it's the Emmaus road, where Jesus draws alongside and kind of warms your heart and says, "Remember what this feels like? To be on fire for me. Do you remember that?" Either way, Jesus is already with us here and now, under our very noses, if we will only open our eyes. I'm going to make another promise for Matt. He's going to help you look. He's going to help you look for Jesus and keep your eyes on him. He's going to do that by training you in the spiritual disciplines searching the scriptures and prayer and fasting and giving and so on. But above all, learn how to pray without ceasing, because it's through prayer that we practice the presence of Jesus. It's through prayer that we open our hearts to his spirit. It's through prayer that we make following him the one thing that we do. Maybe it's not impossible for us, like Paul, to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Brothers and sisters, long for more of Jesus. Third, Matt's going to ask you to follow Jesus, not on your own, but in the company of others, because this is a shared journey. Paul says that he looks forward to that day when the Spirit of Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is the prize we are to pursue. Let me ask you yet another question. Do you long for a new body? I can't help looking at my mother here, who has all kinds of things going on in her life. You know, the older I get, the more easily injured and so on, I find myself, the more I look forward to that new body. But I don't think that Paul simply has in his mind some kind of extreme makeover where we get to have the body that we always wanted. You know? I think what he's talking about is whether we are bodily fit for the praise that we need to offer him in time and eternity. He has in his mind that longing for the new heaven and the new earth, when there will be no more death or pain or crying anymore, when we will join the multitudes singing, dancing, falling on our knees, when we will be lost in wonder, love and praise. Do you want that kind of body? You can even have it in a wheelchair. When Paul says we're new creations, as I said, he means we have a foretaste of that now. We may be jars of clay, outwardly wasting away, yet inwardly being renewed day by day. Paul tells the Corinthians, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen and eternal. Why? Because Jesus said, we become what we see. The eye, he says, is the lamp of the body. What we fix our eyes upon, the spirit of what we fix our eyes upon, floods our souls and transforms us, whether we know it or not. If your eye is full of darkness, your whole body will be full of darkness. If your eye is full of light, your whole body will be filled with light. What are you looking at? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the light of the world. His spirit will be poured into our hearts, and we can be transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. The problem is, as I've already said, that we so easily lose sight of Jesus. We stumble and fall. We succumb to our self-centered ways. Like any serious pursuit, following Jesus is not something that you can do on your own. Left to ourselves, we're so easily tempted to just drift along. Left to ourselves, we will justify that drifting and say, well, it's really okay. It's another promise I'm going to put in Matt's mouth. He's going to help you invest in deep spiritual friendships, people who will watch over your soul, encourage you, provoke you, lift you up when you fall down, remind you who you are and whose you are. Paul says, join with others in following my example and live according to the pattern we gave you. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. It's so appealing, right? But really, truly, the only thing that the enemy of our souls had to do to kill the church was say this: keep yourself to yourself. Don't share your life with other people. God had sold that to Adam and Eve in the garden, right? They hid. Share the depths of your life with a few other people in the presence of Jesus, and he will be with you as he promised. And breathe his spirit through your life as he promised. And fulfill all his promises to you. You know, press on. Long for more of Jesus. The last thing I want to say is that Matt is going to show you what it means. I'm setting him up here, aren't I? He's going to show you what it means to follow Jesus as an everyday witness. You see, I think that the key claim that Paul makes in this passage is, I press on to do what? Take hold, note that language, of that for which Christ took hold of me. It's like Jesus takes hold of me so we can take hold of him. I can take hold of him. And it takes us right back to the Damascus Road. In all this talk about pressing on to the end, it reminds us where everything truly begins. It's Jesus who strives after us. We are his prize. We are the focus of his attention. He longs to live with us. And to be known by us is his goal. Jesus longs for more of you, more than you will ever long for more of him. And his longing is that we might be set apart from this dark world. And as Paul said just a few verses earlier in Philippians, that we might shine like stars in the universe as we hold out. This holding word's interesting, isn't it? He holds us so that we can hold him in order to hold out what we have received. The word of life. Jesus longs for a people whose way of life brings faith, hope, and love to a lost and broken world. The last promise I'm going to make on Matt's behalf is this. He's going to help you shine. Shine. And share your longings with others. But the truth is, we can only hold out that which has hold of us. Make sure that Jesus has hold of you and that you are taking hold of him, so that you have something to hold out to others in this lost and broken world. Long for more of Jesus. How do I know Matt's work here will be fruitful? Well, it's as I already said. It's because I know that all that I have said is true of him. I know he has made knowing Jesus the goal of his life. And I know that he has plenty to give because he has received so much. Let him give it to you. Because the biggest thing he can give to you, of course, is to keep you connected to Jesus. And because he longs for more of him, more of you, and above all, more of his of Jesus' kingdom in his own life and yours. So let me conclude. Let Jesus take hold of you. Perhaps for the first time, let him take hold of you again. But either way, in his hands, long for more of him. As we close, and I think we're going to sing now.
It would just be a great privilege and honor to pray with anyone that feels like they would like a moment of prayer at the conclusion of this service. I invite you. Here's what I'd love to do, and Sam, my wife, and Matt too would come pray. We laid hands on him, and it seems only appropriate that therefore, if he's much he has received, he should pass on. So it would be a great honor to be able to lay hands on you and pray for you. And here's what I would love to pray for, just for those who this moment would be significant, just that the Lord would fill you with his Spirit and leave you hungry, longing for more of him. Because I believe that when we long for more, when we hunger and thirst, as Jesus said, then we will seek and we will find, as he has promised. So we will just be here, and it would be great just to be able to lay a hand on you and pray that simple prayer. God bless you.